It's time to get up, get motivated, and start making moves for yourself instead of working to make someone else rich. These are genuine experiences and the stories of real entrepreneurs that made the ultimate decision to live for themselves in order to achieve unbelievable results. You're listening to The Time Is Now, making your business personal. Now here's your host, Kent Clothier.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Time Is Now podcast. Glad you made it here. I am your faithful host, Kent Clothier. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm joined today by the one and only Mr. Jesse Itzler. What's happening, brother?
How you doing, Kent? Good to see you, man.
Good to see you. Man, for those of you that don't know Jesse wrote the book, Living with a SEAL. I will say one of my favorite books out there for a number of different reasons. I'll come more back to that here in just a second. But on top of that, Jesse's just a really, really inspiring guy. He's had many successful businesses. He's somebody you definitely want to be following on social media. He's out there challenging people each and every day to kind of step up and do hard things out there in life when it comes to, you know, again, pushing the envelope, whether that is physically, whether that is in business, whether that is in philanthropy, whatever it is, man. He's just somebody that I truly, truly admire and can't say enough good stuff about him. So, Jesse, I'm really thrilled to have you here, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it and happy to be here.
So, Jesse, let me just start at the top. I read your book, Living with a SEAL, about a year ago, and it's one of the few books that I turned around and immediately handed it to my wife and my stepfather, my mother, my brother, and everybody around me and started sharing with, because it's one of the few books that you just catch yourself laughing out loud and at the same time being really, really inspired. So first off, I want to say congratulations on all the success with the book. And secondly, man, just if somebody's from the outside and you wanted to tell them a little bit about the book and why they should pick it up, what would you say about it?
Well, just to take a step back and tell you guys how the book came to be. I was at a race in San Diego that was a 24-hour relay race, and I was running with five friends. The format of the race was, you know, you run a mile, your friend runs a mile, I run a mile. Whatever team runs the most amount of miles in 24 hours wins the race. And there was a guy at the starting line who had no one to relay with. He was his own relay team. He was doing the whole thing himself. And there was a really heavy-set guy, muscular, and probably weighed around 280 pounds, which is a lot of weight to run for 24 hours. And sure enough, at mile 70, he sat down in his chair and he had literally crushed all the small bones in both of his feet because of his weight, just shattered them.
Jesus.
And he wasn't eating properly, so he had kidney failure and he was peeing blood. So my first reaction was like, we got to get this guy to a doctor, like airlift this guy out of here and get him to a medic. What did he do? He duct taped his feet and got out of the chair, ran another 30 miles to get to his goal of 100, and then ran one more in case they miscounted. And I said to myself, like literally right at the moment, like I have to meet this guy, because whatever makes a guy like that tick, however he's wired, whatever that special sauce was that got him out of the chair, whatever that drive was that got him out of his chair to keep running, if that could be taught, if I could teach that to my employees, to my kids, to my wife, to myself, then all the different buckets in my life would be better. So I literally just Googled him, learned he was a Navy SEAL with a fascinating story. I cold called him, flew out to meet him, and just realized I wasn't going to get the special sauce in a lunch meeting, and asked him out of nowhere to come live with me. He said yes, and a couple of days later, he was at my breakfast table.
It was about learning from the guy. It was never about trying to put together a book or a book idea or anything like that, right?
No. It was like most things that have happened to me in my life, completely unplanned. I just wanted to get a little bit of this, you know, of whatever he had up here and incorporate it into my life. And the book actually didn't happen until 5 years after the fact. You know, so many people were kind of watching the way that I was living my life. And I wrote a little blog about it. And I realized that what I thought that people would want to get the training side of it, you know, in a book, but really what people wanted was the mindset. And that's why I wrote the book, Living with a SEAL.
I love it, brother. By the way, you have an amazing storytelling ability. I know you've probably heard that a million times, but that book, it just cracks me up every time I go through it. The stuff that's coming out of both of your mouths, it's like you're right there, which is a great way to get into somebody's head, you know, as a reader when you can sit there and you kind of picture yourself in those moments and you can feel what you're going through. That's an amazing talent. So my hat's off to you, brother.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's go back a little bit if we can, because in all likelihood, there's a lot of people that are not really familiar with your story and your success and the level of success that you've achieved out of your life. In addition to the book, would you mind kind of just telling people a little bit about yourself here?
Sure. Well, now I'm a father of four, but I had a very non-traditional, unorthodox journey as an entrepreneur. I started out in the music business, signed to a record label called Delicious Vinyl, which was a rap label in the 90s. They had Young MC, who wrote Bust a Move, won a Grammy for that. And Tone Loc, who wrote a song called Wild Thing and Funky Colby Dean. And then me. So I was an artist early on, right out of college. And then I had a private jet company called Marquee Jet, which we sold to Berkshire Hathaway's NetJets. And I was partnered in a coconut water company called Zico, which we sold to Coca-Cola. Married to the founder of Spanx, who's also an entrepreneur, and we're part owners of the Atlanta Hawks. And in between all that, I've had a lot of egg on my face too. But who wants to talk about that?
Oh, come on, man. That's the good stuff. Everybody thinks you've got the Midas touch, right? Nobody realizes that there's ups and downs.
Ups and downs, up and downs. Just, keep going.
So when you go through the book, you certainly have a knack for kind of, as you said, kind of putting yourself into really unique situations. People that are listening to this today are certainly people that they have either recently began businesses or they're contemplating beginning a business. They're entrepreneurs, or they think of themselves as entrepreneurs, but in all likelihood, they're coming here. They're looking for that inspiration. They're looking for that. There's a lot of people that believe there's some kind of magic button out there, magic thing. I think you touched on something interesting a second ago when you were talking about the book, and that it ends up being a lot more inspirational and motivational and mindset than maybe you even set out thinking that was what's going to happen, right? I mean, what are some of the lessons that you would share with people as they're beginning new businesses? Where do their heads need to be?
Well, I think for starters, you hear the word passion a lot. And I think that passion is very often misinterpreted. You might have passion for your widget or your product or your service or whatever your business is. But I think as an entrepreneur starting, it's really important to have passion for the process, for the journey, because you're going to go through periods of incredible highs and incredible lows. And I just think it's really important to take personal inventory and be like, this is what I signed up for when it's low. This is part of the process. Every entrepreneur goes through, some kind of obstacle. And the passion, yes, you have to have passion for what you're doing, but you really have to have a passion for the journey, because that's what an entrepreneur is. And when your friends are out at a bar at night, or they're going on a vacation, and you have to stay at your office and work because you chose to be an entrepreneur now, so you can have the life that you want maybe later, and everybody's out celebrating and you have to stay and work, that's part of the process. And the passion has to be for that. And then there's a whole list of things that follow that. But I think that's a really important thing to understand as you go through the ups and downs.
Yeah, I mean, it's a journey, right? It's not really a destination. I know that sounds cliche to say, but you have to be willing to go through the struggle, and you've got to be in love with the struggle. It's part of it.
It's what you signed up for. And you have to understand, I think it's just really, really, really important to understand that. There'll be times like there's no quit. This is what you wanted to do.
Right.
There's no, I can't believe this happened to me. The printer broke and my deadline is tomorrow. That's what happens.
Right.
That's what this is about. And figuring it out is part of the journey. And that's part of what you look back on 10 years later. When we started Marquee Jet, I remember Marquee Jet was a private jet company. And the first customer I had was probably the biggest customer that I ever had, because he was an agent that represented hundreds, if not thousands, between him and his firm, of professional athletes or people that could afford to buy the product that we were selling. And on his very first flight, he was flying to get to for an interview to review who was going to be probably the number one pick in the NBA draft. He was flying privately from California to wherever he was going on the East Coast and trying to sign this guy. And the basketball player had set up 30-minute interviews with five or six agents. And if you were a minute late, it was over.
Totally.
Set up the flight, first flight. for this guy who could open up, change my whole world, my whole business. And the plane breaks on the ground. And he can't go. And he calls the kid, and the kid says, "I'm sorry, I'm signing with somebody else." So I had to deal with that.
Yeah.
You know, and I was really freaked out. I'm like, oh my God, all this opportunity's out the window. This guy's going to want his money back. You know, I can't believe this. I invested so much in this particular guy. And I just said to him, you know, "I'm so sorry. This was out of my hand. This happens. This is a safety precaution, blah, 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 blah." And he was fine. He was like, "You know what? I'm with you. You've been great to me." And he became a close friend and opened up the business to a whole whirlwind of success. But the point is, that stuff happens.
Totally.
You know, and my thought process was, you know what? I'm going to deal with this as professionally and as in the best way that I can, like with pure kindness, and just deal with it properly and let the chips fall. And this is what I signed up for. This is what I put myself in the position to deal with. So now I'm going to go deal with it. I'm not going to run from it. I'm not going to make up a story. I'm going to deal with it. And that's just the journey. That's what we're doing. That's what we signed up.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. As new entrepreneurs are coming into the marketplace and they're out there doing this kind of stuff, and as you said, they're finding their passion for the journey. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I bottom line.
Same, Ken, if you don't mind, is I think also as a new entrepreneur in a world of get rich quick, you know, on Instagram, everybody's rich overnight.
Yep.
All these success stories. It takes time. It takes 8 years on average to build a brand. I remember when we had Zico and we went in a coconut water company. We went into Coca-Cola and the president, we were just starting out. The president of the company said, you know, it takes 8 years to build a brand in this country. So take your time, do it right. Don't cut corners.
Make the
best product that you can possibly make, because it's all about the product. Without a good product, it's not going to work. I don't care who's behind it or what it is. Focus on the product and take your time. So I would also just encourage people to realize, like, there's no shortcuts. There's no fast track. It takes time, and time is okay.
Yeah, no doubt, right? I mean, I heard Tony Robbins say most people overestimate what they can do in 30 days and underestimate what they can do in a year. I mean, it's if you've got the time and you give yourself permission to do what is necessary for a year, 2 years, 8 years, 10 years, it's amazing what can happen. But to your point, there's all kinds of people that think if it doesn't work in 30 days, then that's their idea of failure. Oh, well, I bumped up against the wall, or things got a little tight or whatever. I mean, it's just crazy.
It is. It really is.
But that's the world like you said, that's the world that's promoted out there. Everybody sees the best version of somebody else's life on Instagram or Facebook and thinks that's what's really going on.
And I don't want to confuse the message with urgency, because I'm a big believer in now and getting things done now and not waiting, and you don't know what tomorrow brings. But it's okay to understand that, like, you know, you're building something, and to build it, you need the foundation, and that could take time, and you build off a solid foundation.
Yeah, get in the game, get going, do what you need to do, learn from your mistakes, be willing to fall down and keep moving with the big goal in mind, right? Not the quick hit, but the big goal. Don't be afraid to get in the game right now. Obviously, the point of even us talking today is because we've kind of got that common thread between us, is do what you've got to do to make the most out of life today.
Yeah, it's funny you should say that, because I just got back from a monastery. I lived on a monastery for 15 days just to kind of unplug from the world. And, you know, one of the things that I realized going into the monastery was that, you know, my relationship with time was a little out of whack. I think a lot of people, one thing that we neglect is our relationship with time. So you bring up a good point. And I realized that, like, the average American lives to be 78 years old. So I'm 48. So if I'm average, I have 30 years left. That means that I have only 38% of my life left. So basically I have 10,700 something days if I'm average. So that's like, well, who in the world do I want to spend that time with?
No doubt.
What do I want to do? What do I want to accomplish? Like, that's 38% of my life left. That's nothing. That's scary. And I sleep a third of it. And the last 10 years, I'm in my 70s. So it's like, I have no time left. Like, it's now. So, you know, that dictates all of my decisions. You know, who do I want to talk to? Who do I want to spend time with? What do I want to do? Who do I want to be in business with? What's on my to-do list? How do I build my life resume? You know, what memories am I creating this year for my life that I'll have with me for the rest of my life? And that's, you know, that's the power of understanding that, like, we don't live forever. You know, it's a really good gift to give yourself, in my opinion, when you get that realization that, like, every minute is important.
Everybody that's listening is going to think that we are somehow in cahoots here, but we can absolutely attest that we have never spoken about that at all. But the reality of it is on this very podcast, one of the exercises I make everybody go through is that very exercise, is that if you are a woman, go write down the age of 82. If you're a man, write down the age of 78, subtract your age, get the years, multiply it times 365, and then go multiply that times 0.67 to figure out how many waking days you have left on this planet. Put it on a whiteboard, put it in front of you, and act like you have a say in every one of those days, because you do. And until you do that, I just firmly, I mean, I couldn't have said it any stronger than what you said. At the end of the day, that's what really matters. And that's why I just turned 47, and I've gone through more than my fair share of ups and downs as well. But it sounds like we've kind of come to the same realization that, man, time is short. Stop screwing around, dicking around, and wasting it on what all this other superfluous crap, and just focus on collecting moments and building the life you really want. Because whether you know it or don't know it, whether you go through the exercise or don't go through the exercise, the reality of it doesn't make it any less true. Statistically speaking, those are the facts. Those are the numbers, right? And so act like it.
Hey, this is Kent, and thanks for listening to the show. Just wanted to give you a quick heads up. If you're interested in real estate investing and looking for a way to get started, go to thetimeisnow.com. Right there on the page, you'll see an opportunity to just log in and get a free copy of my best-selling book. It's a great way to get started, learn a lot about one of our most basic strategies in real estate called wholesaling, reverse wholesaling to be specific, exactly how you can get started right now. Got a whole list of resources in there, step-by-step instructions, everything you need. Again, go check it out at thetimeisnow.com.
I think it's such a, like you just said, a liberating exercise when people realize that, oh, wow, this is real every day.
And I think you have to make the most of it, because if I were to say to you, Kent, you know, like, what did you do in April of 2016, a year ago? You'd be like, I have no idea. Or what did you do in February of 2014? Well, I'm sure you went through a period of happiness, anxiety, sadness, pressure, all the things that you deal with in your business and home and as an entrepreneur or whatever. But you went through all of that and freaked out during that month.
Yep.
But now you don't even remember it. You can't even remember one thing you did in that month. So when you look at time, you have to create your own memories. You know, you have to say, like, I want to be able to look back on this year and be like, okay, in 2017, I lived on a monastery. I took my kids here. I climbed Mount Washington. I did this race. I did, you know, I made sure that I did blah, blah, whatever it is. But otherwise, you're just flipping the calendar, going through the motions. And next thing you know, you got 310 days left on your list of days left when you pull out your calculator. Like, you got one shot at this thing. So,
yeah, you got one shot. This ain't practice, baby, right? You're in the game.
This isn't practice. And if you're not being the best version of yourself, that's kind of insane.
So why is it, do you think, I mean, what do you think it's inside of you that pushes you to go so much further than most people? And I would even put myself into it. I feel like I push farther than most, but then I see a guy like yourself and you push even further than I could even imagine, right? Like you're talking about going and living on a monastery, having a seal come live in your house, all these very, that look and feel like very extreme situations, running 100 miles, whatever the case may be. Why? What do you think is inside you that makes you go to that far with it?
Well, I think, first of all, I'm an adrenaline junkie. I love newness. I like challenges. It makes me feel way more alive when I'm doing things that I have a goal that I might fail at, that I have to work hard at. But for me, it's really just about building my life resume. I really want to have as many things on my resume as I can. So at the end of it, I could be like, I milked it. I milked life for everything. And I'm not a big believer in celebrations. Like, if you didn't ask me about my history, I haven't thought about Marquee Jet or Zico. I mean, I love the brands, but that's happened. That chapter is done. And I'm not going to live back in my old neighborhood. Like, that's rear view mirror stuff. What am I going to do in the next 30 years? Like, you know, I feel like my anxiety is around, I don't have enough time to do what I want to do. So I just want to check that box. I lived in a monastery, got my takeaways, going to apply it to my version of my modern life. What's next? Like, that's just how I look at it every day. And just to add to that, I really feel like super grateful. So I operate out of a place of gratitude that I'm, knock on wood, healthy enough to run 100 miles. So
right,
I got to do it. You know, I want to try it. Or I'm in a position where I can do, and I feel really fortunate about that. So I want to maximize that. You know, my wife said to me, I want to run this race called Badwater. They call it the world's toughest foot race, whether it is or not. And she's like, well, why do you want to do that? Why don't you just do that? Like, do it next year. I'm like, because next year isn't guaranteed. Next year? I have no idea what's going to happen next year. No, and I don't want to resent that I couldn't do it because I waited a year. I went and I climbed Mount Washington. I didn't know anything about Mount Washington. The short about Mount Washington in the winter, I didn't even know where it was, is it's one of the 10 most dangerous mountains to climb. I don't know if it's in the States or the world, but it's on some list of most dangerous.
No doubt.
It's minus 35 degrees with the wind chill. It is 40 to 75 mile an hour winds at any given moment, pretty much. And it's really, really hard to get to the top in the winter. So I went with my friends this year. We went and we didn't make it. We went, we put a time limit. We said, if we don't get to the top by 1 o'clock, it gets dark at 4. We got to get down. So at like 1:30, we still aren't there. We go down, come back to Atlanta, where I live, New Hampshire, fly back to Atlanta. And I'm sitting in my bed like the next night. And I'm like, I got to go back. So I called up the guys and I'm like, I'm going back to Mount Washington. And they're like, all right, well, what are you thinking? Like, you know, next year we can go any weekend and we can plan it and do it. And I'm like, I'm going on Saturday. I'm going back in 4 days. They're like, what? I'm like, I'm going back on Saturday. I have no idea what's going to happen. I could break my leg next year. I could be, who knows? I'm going on Saturday. So all the guys came and we got to the top. And, you know, that's kind of the answer to your question. There's no better time than now, and there's no guarantees. And what are we really doing here? You know,
I love it, brother. I remember seeing that on social media. I was like, when you seeing that you were going back, I was like, what? There's no, I mean, I remember seeing you didn't make it. And then I remember seeing that you went right back. And I was like, this guy has lost his damn mind. But it's awesome, brother. I mean, it is truly, truly inspiring. I can tell you from a personal standpoint, it kind of keeps me in check from a thinking where I think big or where I'm pushing myself. And I'm sure it has the exact same effect on thousands and thousands of people out there that follow you. That it just makes me realize, hey, man, I can always push further. There's always something more that you're kind of putting off tomorrow or the next month or the next year, whether you even realize it or not, consciously or subconsciously, that you can be jumping in with both feet right now.
And, you know, for me, like I said earlier, that's what makes me feel most alive. That's what I love. I love being outdoors. I love physical challenges that really are more endurance-based because they test the mind more than how strong I am or how, you know. It's really just a test of will. And some of them I'm good at, some of them I'm not. But that's what makes me feel most alive. Other people like to go and sit on the beach. I like to do that too. But these are the things that I like to do. So I want to put as many of those things that make me feel happy and good on my plate as possible.
I love it. Speaking of endurance, let's shift gears here for a second. You've become friends with my brother, Chris, and he's getting ready, I guess, in 2 weeks, getting ready to run his 100-mile endurance run. What's he in for, man? I know you've been trying to give him some pointers and all that. What's he in for?
He's in for a real gut check. He's going to get his pain threshold tested. Because for me, when I ran my 100, it took me 22 and a half hours. I trained for it in 90 days, like full-time job. But the two things that really stand out in my mind were, one, just the pain in my joints. You know, like my knees were swollen, my hip joints. And I've said this to Chris. It's really hard to take in that many calories in the course of a day while running. So you just have to really, you know, I remember at mile like 60, 12 hours, 13 hours in, I just didn't want to eat. Well, you have to eat, otherwise you're going to bump. So that was really hard for me. So, but I think, you know, mentally for Chris, this is one day in his life. One day.
Right.
It's going to be over in 24 hours and 1 minute. It's over, no matter what. Life goes on. So everything he has to channel to get through this race, a kid that used to bully him, you know, something that happened, someone that dumped him, whatever it is that fuels him to get to that finish line, he has to channel for one day in his life. And whatever the pain is, whatever is going on, unless it's super serious, which could happen, you just got to keep going and don't think about how what he's accomplished. Oh, I'm at mile 77. Who cares? Don't think, oh, there's 23 more miles left. Who cares? Take one step, then another step, and then another step, and just keep going until you finish the race. That's what he's in for.
I I've told him, but I have so much admiration for what he's doing. I mean, I can't even imagine.
And what he's doing it for, he inspired me, you know, like, and, you know, I really hope he finishes. A lot of people don't finish. A lot of people do finish any given day, right? Any given day.
Right.
Some days 100-mile guys go out and some days can't run 5 miles. Some days guys go out that haven't run and can run 25 miles. It's any given day. But just the fact that he's brought so much awareness to the dedication, to the charities, how he's trained and invested so much time. He's already won. He's learned so much about himself and discipline and consistency and priorities and balancing it all in with his family and everything he's doing. He already won.
That's true.
He's able to run the race, but he already won. It's like a fighter that trains for 6 months for a UFC title fight. It's 6 months of preparation. You might get knocked out in 15 seconds. It's the preparation, the experience, the journey, and then let the chips fall.
Yeah, that's true. That experience and wisdom. I mean, there's no doubt he's learned so much about himself already just in the last few months that any challenge he comes up against from this point forward, regardless of whether he finishes that race or not, I mean, it's like a cakewalk now.
And especially as it relates to time and patience. I remember when I got done with my race, I had to go drive 6 hours. And all the guys that were going were like, 6 hours. Oh, my God, we got to pull over. We get so long. I want to fly. Let's take a train. Let's break it up into 2 days. And I'm like, 6 hours. I mean, you know, my whole focus on relationship as it related to time was like, I ran for 24 hours. We're 6 hours. I can listen to the radio. I can put the AC on.
No doubt.
I can drink, stretch out. I can pull over. I'm like, are you kidding me? So he's going to get all these little nuggets that are going to change his life that he doesn't even have any idea the benefits.
That's a great point.
I'll give people that one really big challenge like that. And it doesn't have to be that extreme. Can change your entire life. There's an ancient Japanese ritual called the Misogi. And the theory is if you do something so hard for one day a year that you didn't think you could do, that pushes your limits, that the benefits last the entire year. So you want to do one a year. So let's see what the benefits that he gets from this one race are.
That's a really good point, dude. Really good. So what are you working on right now? What are you passionate about? What are you, you know, channeling all your energy in right now?
Well, outside of getting my my kids potty trained,
I know exactly. I've got a 3-year-old at the house. I know exactly. Been there, done that.
I'm getting a D-minus on it. outside of being a dad to 4 young kids, I have a group I've organized within Facebook. It's called the hashtag 2017 of Everything Challenge. And what we do is every month I post a challenge to the group. I pin it in the pin post. And anyone that completes the challenge in that month, I donate $100 to whatever charities we're supporting that month. So the first month was we raised money for the Special Operations Warrior Foundation. This month is for Parkinson's. Autism was last month. Georgia Special Olympics was 1 month. We've raised over $250,000, I believe, the first couple of months. And we have thousands of people participating in it. So that's been really like fulfilling to me. I love it because we've really taken people that have never worked out before to, I call it from average to savage. We've taken people that are amazing athletes and challenged them because it's kind of like go at your own pace, no gym needed. So anyway, so I'm focused on that. I love it. And then I'm writing a new book, Living with the Monks, as a follow-up to Living with the Seal.
Nice.
And I'm excited about that. And I'm an owner of the Atlanta Hawks. I'm super excited about that. I'm not excited that we lost and are out of the playoffs, but I'm excited about the future.
So I'm assuming you make all the games when they're home.
Yeah, right? All home games, some of the away games. Yeah, I do. I was a season ticket holder before we became part of the ownership group.
Yeah.
We all, as a group, we bought the team in 2 years ago. But I was a season ticket holder first, so I was already a huge fan. And I live in town, so now I'm even a bigger fan. I'm a super fan.
How'd you get to Atlanta?
Well, my wife's business, Banks, is headquartered in Atlanta. So we were splitting our time 50-50. And then as our kids enrolled in school full time,
yeah,
we kind of had to make a decision. And I'd sold out of my other company. So it was just, she wanted to be in Atlanta. And I said, fine.
It's a great city.
Anytime you get a decision like that, you know, the easiest way to have a great life, whatever you say, dear. Whatever you say, dear. She wants to be in Atlanta. Whatever you say, dear.
You know, I was gonna ask you for some parting really good advice, but I think we just got it.
For 65 years, they told me that's the secret. So far, it's working for me.
Dude, I love it, man. Well, brother, I appreciate you coming on here. I, like I said, been really, really inspired. Glad to get to know you. Glad that we're going to have the opportunity in another couple of weeks to see you at our upcoming Scale and Escape Summit. Really excited for people to get to see you speak live and kind of share your wisdom there. If people want to find you and get, you know, hook up with you and follow you, you know, where's the best place to find you?
So I'm at the number 100 mile man, at the 100 mile man, and the Facebook group, hashtag 2017 of everything. You can link into the Facebook group by going to wedohardstuff.com. Wedohardstuff.com. But I appreciate the opportunity. I can't wait to come up and come out west and hang out with you guys.
Yeah, man, I'm really looking forward to it. And we'll make sure we link to all your stuff right on the show notes. Again, cool. Been my pleasure having you here, brother. I love all your wisdom. I love all your insight. And thanks for stopping by and sharing it today.
No, you too, man. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. See you guys.
Absolutely. Guys, that's our show for today. And as always, share your comments, your reviews, all that kind of good stuff on the iTunes, on the blog. Let us know what you think of the show. Let us know how we can improve and what you want to hear more about. And if you want to connect with Jesse, again, right here in the show notes, just check it out and we'll link out to all of his stuff there. So with that, we'll see you later, guys. Peace.
You've reached the end of this episode, but there's plenty more for you over at thetimeisnow.com, where you can sign up for our free mailing list to help you make the next big shift in your career. As always, we'll see you next time on the Time Is Now podcast, where your business is personal.